Welcome to the Unsweetened SIO podcast. My name is Siobhan Harris. I am a certified integrative nutrition health coach and the founder of unsweetenedsio.com. I gave up all sugar and all flour on January 13th, 2018, and am finally free of my addiction. My mission is to help other sugar addicts find their path to freedom and live the sweet life without sugar. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 147 of Unsweetened SIO, the podcast. Today's a very exciting day. We have Susan Miller back, and she is celebrating today her two-year sugarversary. And for those of you who have been listening for a while, we started talking to Susan over 2 years ago when she was just deciding to give up sugar and flour and have been with her really throughout this journey. So we were just talking before we started recording how time has flown by and we cannot believe that we're here 2 years celebrating her later. So Susan Miller is a nutritional therapy practitioner who decided to give up sugar, flour, and alcohol in March of 2020. After a couple months of slips and starts, she came clean on June 1st and has not looked back despite the pandemic and a personal bout with COVID-19. Still an advocate of 12-step recovery, most recently, Susan has been working toward a lifestyle of simplicity, including her food plan. The absence of sugar has cleared mental fog and the emotional roller coaster of the past. This has brought back enjoyment of hobbies that have been missing for a long time, including stitching samplers and reading classic literature. Having an official diagnosis of OCD and battling skin conditions in spite of giving up sugar has led her back to her roots as an NTP, discovering her own bio-individuality in regard to food. Susan remains confident that sugar and ultra-processed foods are not a part of the proper human diet, and she takes every opportunity to share this message. So congratulations, Susan, and welcome back on your two-year sugarversary. I can't believe it.
Yeah, I can't either. And it was one of the first thoughts when I woke up this morning, of course, that it's been 2 years. And of course, I was thinking about talking to you too, and just how different that first conversation was, how apprehensive I was, and how I just in my mind just thought I still would not be successful. And I was so scared about starting that commitment to talk to you about it on a regular basis, because I really just didn't think that I would be successful at that point. So, but that was just part of that sugar fog. I mean, because before I started those 2 years ago, I was really having that sugar funeral. And so my brain was just, you know, it was just really, really foggy back then.
Well, I'm so grateful, and I'm sure people listening too, for you just being so vulnerable and sharing your journey, you know, the challenges as well as the victories over the past 2 years plus. And it has been really amazing to see how much you've evolved and how much you've changed things too. It's just such, you know, and same with my own story, like what works for you at one time might not work at another. And we try different things. And that's all part of the journey, is just trying to figure it out and what works best for you as a bio individual, as you were saying in your introduction. You know, we're all so different, and we can't try to copy the way someone else does this, because it won't be sustainable. And we have to be open to that it's going to change too. So I love that you're talking now about simplicity and how that's kind of where you're headed now. So talk to us a little bit more about like what you mean by that, keeping things simple.
Well, it crosses just about every area of my lifestyle, from just physical clutter to social media to the way that I use electronics, and all the way down to my food. And that really didn't start to happen until about a year ago. So I would say if I had to kind of pinpoint the difference between year one and year two, in year one, every month that I put behind me, I was still so surprised and still, I honestly still was waiting for the other shoe to drop, as that, you know, that saying goes. You know, I really didn't expect that it was going to continue. But then when I got to the 1 year mark and I was feeling pretty good, you know, inside and out, I started on the, I started really thinking about things other than food, you know, because that's pretty much been all I have done all my life, because it's been in my career path. It's been the thing that has troubled me, and other things have been put aside so often because of just that constant battle. So I took some time to put together a game plan. And, you know, the interesting thing too is that out of that journey towards simplicity, that's honestly where I discovered that it might be going a little too far. And I actually took the time to be tested for both ADHD and OCD. I was having trouble. See, I was able to get back to things that I enjoyed doing, but I wasn't able to sit still to do them. You know, like whether it was stitching or reading, you know, I just wasn't able to sit still and pay attention and comprehend. So, you know, as far as food goes, I had had the sugar tool done to discover that, yes, indeed, I was a food addict, which, of course, we already know before we do that usually. But, you know, so I'm really into that kind of thing, into getting an official, you know, somebody that knows more than I do about a subject to tell me if I'm just being overreactive or overly conscious of things, or whether there really is something there. So I got myself tested. And I really thought that I had ADHD, but in fact, it was OCD. And when I got the diagnosis, I was like, yeah, that's what it was, you know, because what had happened was I, you know, I'm very organized anyway, and I started decluttering, and it was like I would be sitting at my desk into something on the computer or trying to read, and I would have to jump up and clean something out. I'd have this sudden urge to clean out a drawer or a shelf on a closet, and, you know, in a closet or something like that. And I knew that that wasn't quite right, you know? So, yeah. So that's, that gave me some peace to know that it wasn't just, you know, it wasn't just a, it wasn't the next thing that I was transferring my addiction to. See, that's what I was afraid of. You know, because the addictive brain is always looking for the next. To me, it's an idol, but you can call it whatever you want. You know, it's to me, it's like worshiping something else, you know. And so it made me feel better to know that, no, it didn't necessarily have to be that. And, you know, it was something that I could actually work on. So I did. But, you know, I did eventually pretty much come to the end of the physical things, decluttering and organization, and I had to move on and get my brain involved in other things. And so, you know, I have been able to bring back those, some of those hobbies, and living a simpler lifestyle has allowed me to think about things that I really enjoy, that I think you and I, we talked about one time, that I couldn't really think of anything that I wanted to do that sounded like fun. And, you know, and so now I'm able to do that.
Oh, I think I'm going to stop you because you've said so many things that I want to talk about here, but just that last statement, I think that's so true for people. And I had that same experience. Like once you give up sugar and flour, I had to really be like, what do I even like to do? I don't even know. Like what brings me joy? That's still something that like I'm working on and discovering. I do think that's part of this journey, because I think for a lot of us, food kind of is the thing that brings us joy. And it takes up so much of our time and energy that we maybe don't even realize like what we actually enjoy doing. Because even things like, for instance, for me, going to the movies, I like going to the movies, but before it was all about what I was going to eat when I got to the movies. Or I like hanging out with friends, but before it was all about what I was going to eat if we were going out to dinner. You know, like that became the focus. More than I could care less what movie I was seeing. Honestly, I could care less with what friend, you know, I mean, who I was hanging out with. It was more all about the food. So once you take that out, it is kind of a new way of rediscovering yourself, or, you know, getting back in touch with yourself, or learning, yeah, what even you like to do anymore. So I think that's really probably something that a lot of people have to deal with once they give off the sugar and flour. But I also love this idea of simplicity. And I was just thinking you could have a whole side show, I think, of like keeping it simple with Susan Miller. I can just hear the, you know, this podcast that you could have. And before even getting to the food part of that, like you're talking about all this other stuff, like simplifying your life, decluttering. You know, there's so many books and stuff written about that, how much like clutter can, you know, make people, it cause a lot of anxiety for people, you know, and things like, you know, you're saying like more intention on how you use technology and, you know, all of that stuff, I think is so important. And it again goes to, it's not just about the food. It's also about all these other things. So I'm just curious with that in mind, you know, what are some of the other things outside of food? Because we'll get to that, because I do think for me, I like to keep it simple when it comes to food too. But what are some of the other things, you know, in your life that you've simplified and have noticed some peace around, I guess?
Okay. Well, like so many people, a year or so ago, I read the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. And I resonated with so much of what he said. It was very much in my nature, the things that he talked about being good to do, but I had just never heard some of the concepts put just the way that he did. And I started to practice habit stacking. I started to segment kind of my days. I kind of think of my, I have learned to think of my environment at home, because for so many years I worked away from home and had a very regulated schedule in a public school system as an administrator. You know, my days were completely scheduled, taken up with meetings, and, you know, I just knew, you know, every day was different, but I had a clear outline of what I did each day. So since I've been home, which I will be not, well, I'm not home. I do work, but I work from home. Since I've done that for the last 4 years, I had to come up with a way to think of that as a work day. And then I had to learn to separate work from home, because like so many other people, I allowed work to go on all the time. So in doing that, I started to think of my life like in a kindergarten classroom where there are centers. And so that's kind of the way my house, the way things at home are set up, you know, whether it's my workspace or my crafting space or my housework things that I use, you know, I just started to think of those as centers. And then I started to take his advice of habit stacking.
Talk to us a little bit more about habit stacking for people. I have heard that concept, but explain it a little bit for people.
Well, there are things that we do every day just by rote. For example, you know, brushing our teeth, getting up, making that first cup of coffee. For me, I've always made the bed. I know that that's a challenge for some people. But those kinds of things that we do every day and we don't really even think about it. And then there are things that we wish we did every day, but we're just always disappointed because it just doesn't get done and things stack up, for lack of a better word. And habit stacking is a way to incorporate those things so that they are attached either before or after something that you already are very good at doing on a regular basis, and they become like the things that you're already doing. You just do them because that's the time that you do it.
So give us an example of something maybe that you were able to have it stack.
Oh gosh. Okay. So, yeah, so my morning routine became very, very steady. Like when I get up to an alarm, even though I wake up at about the same time every day, because that starts my day so that I can almost look at the clock and see what's coming next. So I get up to an alarm and I head straight for my first spot that I'm going to, you know, do things for the day. I brush my teeth. I make my coffee. I set out my medication and my supplement that I'm going to take. And I, you know, I fill my water mug so that it's right there so that I know that I'm going to drink it all morning long. I drink 20 ounces of water before I leave and go on to the next area, you know. So I have this set of things that I do when I wake up before I even leave. My meditation is in that too. So as far as even my journaling goes, I journal before I leave that area also. And my journal, I have a template for my journal so that it fits into the amount of time that I have, you know, for the activity in that spot. And I don't leave until those things are done. And if I get off schedule, I really don't let that totally up in me. I'm just curious about that. And I observe it. And I think about whether what happened was more important than what I had planned to do. And very often it's things like I let my mind cause me to go to buy something from Amazon, or I surfed the internet for something, or, you know, I thought about somebody and I went on Facebook and that kind of got out of hand. So I take the time to be curious about those things and decide whether those are habits that I want to add in or whether I want to try to get a handle on those things and eliminate them. So
interesting. And would you say that book then was the kind of the inspiration to that desire to simplify things? Is that kind of what kicked it all off for you?
That book and the other book that I read, because I told you, you know, I was starting to get more into reading. I read the Swedish death cleaning book. I can't remember the exact title of it now, but yeah. So that book, you know, some people have said that it's too morbid to think about it this way, but I am 61, about to turn 62 in August. And I started thinking about, you know, what legacy I wanted to leave behind and what things I wanted my children to have to deal with, you know, when I'm gone. And something that really struck me was I had an entire bookshelf of nutrition books, textbooks, self-help books, psychological books, addiction books. And I thought, you know, if people only knew about me, what they came into my space and saw, I wouldn't be happy with that. So that really made me get very introspective. And that's part of what has led me back into my hobbies and into classical literature and things that matter. Because it's not that all the things on my shelf didn't matter. It's just that they were for another time. So I just decided that I wanted to be intentional in keeping up with who I am today and let that old stuff go. You know, it's not that I don't have an addictive brain, and it's not that I won't always be an addict, but I'm not going to behave like one anymore. So, you know, I don't want to leave that legacy behind.
I really, really love that. I think that's really powerful to think about. And yes, it doesn't have to define you right now either. You know, you're at this, you're working on your recovery and now you're on this next path. So yeah, that's really, really interesting to think about. I love the idea of simplicity as well. And unfortunately, I knew so many people during COVID had the opportunity where they were cleaning out closets. And, you know, I remember the line to like drop things off at Goodwill was like ridiculous at times because so many people were getting rid of stuff. And I, unfortunately, you know, was working full time and trying to homeschool two kids. So I was always envious of the people that had all this time to like clean things out, because I find a lot of, I don't know the right word, joy or calm almost around decluttering and getting rid of things that I no longer use or need. Like when things, there's too much stuff, even just too much stuff in general, causes me anxiety. And I have, you know, my daughter just turned 7. So I now have a 7 and 8-year-old, and going into their rooms, there's just so much stuff. It causes me, you know, a lot of anxiety. So I definitely like, I haven't read either of those books. So now you've got me interested. And I really like this concept of habit stacking. It makes a lot of sense and really good for people to use as far in their recovery too. Like if you're someone that wants to start meditating or you want to start journaling, yeah, stack it onto something that you're already doing every day, especially as you're building, you know, that morning ritual. I think we all need to have the morning ritual and the evening ritual. So if you can build them into that, I think that's really like a brilliant concept and probably has helped so many people. Talk to us though a little bit now about how that's then gotten to your food, like how you've simplified your food and how it's changed maybe too from, I know it's evolved a lot from the beginning of when you first gave up sugar and flour into what it looks like now. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, yes, it has been an evolution. And between when I first went sugar and flour free until now, things are very different and I have gone through ups and downs. I did learn back when I started experimenting a little bit that it was that flour is not a problem for me. The combination of sugar and flour is the problem. And I even went through a period of time where I would have a piece of pizza or two with my husband every now and then, or I brought back in over Christmas, I had a couple of croissants from a really nice bakery in our area. Didn't trip me up, didn't bother me at all. So that was an interesting discovery to make. It truly is. It's not really sugar by itself because it's not candy and that kind of thing. It's not, you know, sugar and flour without the sugar. So that was an interesting discovery to make, but it didn't really necessarily put me any closer to my goals, which is just overall better, you know, health, mental health, and physical health. I've had trouble with my skin for many, many years. I have never had a terrible case of acne or anything like that, but I have had rosacea for many years. And I also developed a problem with atopic dermatitis, which is commonly called eczema, but the kind that I have, and it's specifically on my hands, it's not itchy. It's just very dryness, very dry to the point that my fingers crack and just terribly dry. So I went to the dermatologist, and of course, they gave me all kinds of potions and prescriptions and things like that to use. And the more I thought about it, you know, I just thought, you know better than this. I mean, I'm trained, you know, as a nutritional therapy practitioner. I know the route to go to try to, you know, work on my gut to get that microbiome in a better shape and all that kind of thing. I've just never really been willing to do it to address my skin. But this really pushed me over the edge because in the winter it was just so bad. You know, it was painful on my hands. So that led me into studying about the kinds of things that that have a negative effect on the skin. And one of those is salicylates, which are in almost every plant food, not all of them, but most of them. So, of course, I went back to the basics of getting rid of anything with gluten or cross-reactive with gluten, you know, any kind of grains, basically, and basically eliminated, frankly, most vegetables, almost all of them have salicylates. So I have come down to just about probably a dozen foods. My diet is very meat-based, but not totally meat. And I've come down to probably a dozen foods. And after I did that, even though it was for a specific reason, you know, it was for my skin, as I went along, I realized this is just so much easier to deal with, you know, to have fewer things to think about, preparing fewer things in the refrigerator, in the freezer, and not having so much that you're trying to win the battle of things going bad. And, you know, so I thought, wow, this is simple. This is food simplicity. It's like minimalism in regard to food. And I understand that I have a very simple palate. I mean, I'm one of those people that has never had a problem with eating leftovers two or three meals in a row. So I understand that there are going to be people that are foodies or that just really thrive on variety and it wouldn't work for them. But for me, on my kind of journey towards a simpler lifestyle, it was just kind of a light bulb moment. Wow, you can even be simple, you know, with the food that you eat. So I don't think I'll ever go back, and I have seen a little bit of success already with my hands, but if this really is the solution, I don't think I'll ever go back to just a really wide range of foods. Yeah. I'll be very careful when I add things back.
Yeah. And you've kind of experimented, you know, more with the carnivore diet before anyway, you know, you'd kind of done that for a while. So it also makes like food shopping a lot easier, you know,
absolutely.
You have the same 12 items on your list. And like you said, not worrying about food waste. I love that. However you put that was so funny, because it's true. I have some vegetables right now and I'm like, oh, I got to cook them before they go bad, you know? But I too am a very, and I've said this always, very simple eater. And I'm really grateful for that because it is a lot easier. Like I'm just basically, when I cook my meals, it's like a meat and a veggie for me. And but I'm like you, I have a very simple palate, you know? So I'm not a foodie by any means, nor the other big thing is I don't really enjoy cooking. I do it because, you know, I used to really dislike it. Now I try to say, I enjoy making healthy meals for me and my family. I'm trying to get like a better, you know, like thought process around it, but it's true. I do not enjoy spending hours in the kitchen. Like some people do, like some people, my brother is one of them. He loves like after a day coming home and spending time making a really nice meal. It's really relaxing for him. He really enjoys it. For me, it just feels like one more chore. I'm checking off my like list of endless chores every day. So I have found by keeping it really simple, because I don't know in the past, if like I've tried to follow diet plans, you know, that have a specific food plan with recipes included. And then you have to buy all the ingredients and then you're trying to do all the things. And I think that was one of the reasons it wasn't sustainable for me, because it was too much work. Where now I like sometimes, like last night, I didn't have a lot of time. I just stopped at Whole Foods and got a rotisserie chicken and ate that with like a salad that I made like that. And then I'll have that for leftovers today too. I have my really, really simple go-to meals. And that just makes it super, super easy. But like you said, there are some people that enjoy more variety and it wouldn't work for everybody. But I think the more you can simplify it, the better. And the more you can make things automatic. I used to be someone that didn't like leftovers, and I really have had to train myself to eat leftovers, because then all I'm worrying about every night pretty much is dinner. Because in the morning I have either a smoothie or eggs. I pretty much eat the same things for breakfast. And then my lunch is leftover from dinner the night before. So the only thing I actually have to put any like thought into is dinner. And again, if it's really simple dinners, it's just not taking up that much of my day or thinking. So I don't know about that too. It's just when it is simple, you're not worried. I don't know. Again, it's not all that time spent thinking about what I'm going to cook, when I'm going to have time to go to the store and get all the ingredients for that, or online looking for a bunch of recipes. I'm pretty similar that I kind of just cycle through the same things. I have found what works for me and what I enjoy eating. And you know, it's just that, you know, that easy in a lot of ways. So what have you noticed also with like simplifying? Already your skin is getting a little bit better. Are you noticing anything else?
Well, I will say that my digestion has improved too. I don't have, you know, usually there were a number of foods that I had in my food plan that after I had a meal, it was a little uncomfortable. You know, I wouldn't say it's improved so much since I stopped sugar that, you know, it wasn't a huge difference, but I definitely have felt some improvement there. I think my insides are just used to what's coming, you know, now. And so that's been helpful. And just being able to be ready to go and to pack food, that has been easier. And I do a lot of that because, you know, people are just so used to me being weird about my food now that it's, you know, it's nothing for me to go to a family gathering, friends, and I've got my food with me. People don't even bat an eye. They're not offended, you know, so it's much easier for me to pack up something to take with me, you know, when it's really limited. So that's been helpful too.
What about costs too? Has it been like kind of a money saving for you too?
No, I really don't think that it's been, that it saved a lot of money because now I've kind of become a protein evangelist and I eat so much well meat and I buy high quality meat that it's expensive and I'm blessed to be able to do that. And yeah, everything. So no, I really haven't saved much money. And oh, one thing that I didn't mention, and this is really, it doesn't have that much to do with simplicity, but it has to do more with salicylates, is that I quit coffee. Mm. And before this period of time, I have tried a number of times and it just didn't work. And so this time it did. And I really think part of that is just because I made the method that I did that very methodical and added it to my habits, you know, the way that I did my morning routine. And and it went so much smoother this time. So I think the simplicity probably, you know, once you get your surroundings much more in order and lower key and simplified, I think it just kind of it's absorbed into your way of thinking, and things are just not as overwhelming as they once were. You know, the thought of giving up caffeine used to be overwhelming and it just wasn't. And, you know, I suffered through the little bit of withdrawal and came out on the other end and went, okay, what's next? You know, so that's really different too. Another thing that I have done in regard to reading the Atomic Habits book is I have started to reduce friction in all areas of my life, even in the smallest things. You know, when you run up on something during the day that's an aggravation, instead of it just being an aggravation for me, I stop and figure out how to change it. And it can be something as simple as pulling down the laundry detergent off the shelf, too high, too hard to do. Well, I just moved it. I rearranged things and I moved it, you know. If, you know, there's just been so many little things I wish that I had written them down. You know, it may have to do with feeding the dogs, you know. Well, the water bowl where it is, they drip water, you know, all over the floor. And I'm always aggravated having to wipe it up. Well, I changed the way that I give them their water, you know, and I don't have to worry about that anymore. But it can be just the smallest things that trip you up in a day. And the important thing about that is it's those little things that make us get overstressed, overwhelmed to the point that we want to run for food. Mm-hmm. Eliminating those things that trigger our emotions to need to medicate ourselves.
Exactly what I was going to say when you were talking about that. Those little things, even if the one thing, like the laundry first thing, you know, that doesn't trigger, but it's on top of each other. And we have so many of those every day throughout the day. And, you know, then you get stressed and overwhelmed. And that's, yeah, when you start turning to the food. So I love that. It's just addressing each, well, how can I make this easier? So it isn't something.
Yes. How can I make this easier or eliminate it?
Or eliminate. Yeah. Well, I'm definitely reading this, getting this book. So I'm glad that we're talking about this, because I think this is so helpful for anyone, but especially anyone with, you know, addicts that are, we're trying to kind of lower that stress, make our life easier and simpler, because in that case, we're not going to turn to food as often. We won't need to. Let's talk a little bit too about, like, just, I always say, like, my first year was very different from my second year, from my third year. Now I'm in my fourth year. Like, what are, as like reflecting back from this time last year, when you were at 1 year, you talked a little bit about that, but what else in this, like from year one to year two, maybe any other things, like things that you've noticed on a positive, or any other challenges that came up, or just any different benefits that you're seeing? How does, you know, how did this kind of year look, this year two for you?
Well, in the second year, I'm able to, it's not that I don't still desire some of the foods that I ate before, and not that I can't make myself sad if I think about something that I would really like to have and I can't, but I'm much better able when I'm with a group of people and they're having something that I don't eat anymore, or drinking, whether it's alcohol. I'm really starting to see people's lives in a different way. Instead of feeling sorry for myself that I can't have or do what they're doing, I am really seeing the negative effects on the people around me. And it's becoming more of a gift to myself to not eat those foods, to not drink alcohol, than it is something that makes me feel sad or like I'm missing out. I feel like it's really a very valuable gift that I've given myself, especially as I age, you know, because, you know, in your 60s, it's just such a weird decade, you know, because in your 50s, there's so many celebrities that will say, you know, 50s are the new 40s or whatever. Well, when you get into your 60s, everybody's pretty much left you alone. You know, you're just headed on, you're on your way to the end by the time you get to your 60s. And I work with seniors. I mean, that's what my job is. And I've been so impacted by the impact that isolation has had on seniors in the last 2 years, just physically, emotionally. It's just really, it's shocking. It's not surprising, because we all know, see it coming. But yeah, it's been really shocking to see the differences in people physically and emotionally. And I'm just so grateful that I gave myself this gift, you know, and that each day it has gotten a little easier. The second year, you know, like I say, people were already pretty used to me being different, because, you know, I was already a nutritional therapy practitioner, and people knew that I thought differently about food than most people. And, you know, that I was pretty far away from the standard American diet already. But I've just kind of come into my own in that I really don't, I don't evangelize, but I don't back down either. You know, I just do what I need to do for me, and I encourage other people to do what they need to do, you know, and if they want help with that, I'm happy to help. But otherwise, you know, I just stay in my lane.
Yeah. And I have found it easier as I've gone through the process, where before it felt intimidating to like bring my food somewhere else and worry about offending someone or being, you know, different. And now, yeah, I just, it's so much easier for me to advocate for myself, even at a restaurant. You know, I used to not want to be that high maintenance person, but now I'm like, so what do you cook that with? You know, I don't care. I just ask all the questions and I have no like, trouble doing it, where before I felt bad about it or that I was like putting someone out, or, but that part has just come so much more naturally to me.
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh, I love listening to, you know, just the ease. It just sound like there's so much more ease for you, you know, and just living this lifestyle and evolving with it. So, I do want to talk a little bit about the OCD diagnosis too, and just like the point and the skin, you know, the ongoing skin conditions that you're still working with, and just bringing up that, yeah, like giving up sugar and flour doesn't solve all of our problems. You know, like sometimes I remember thinking that in the beginning too, a life's going to be like, when I give up sugar and flour, then everything's going to be great. When I'm no longer binging, everything's going to be great. Or some people say that too with weight loss. When I'm a certain weight, then my life will be okay. But the truth is there's still going to be different challenges and stuff that come up. And we talked about this a little bit before we were recording, I think, is we're though better equipped to deal with them, you know? So whereas, you know, looking more into your skin condition or OCD might've felt completely overwhelming when you were in the sugar and the food. Once you got that out and got that brain clarity, you were able to address some other things without it feeling completely overwhelming. I don't know if I'm explaining that right, but yeah, talk to us a little bit more about that and just being able to kind of address these things now and what you're doing for those.
Well, I'm just so much more self-confident about taking care of my own health, you know, and questioning. The dermatologist was pretty confident about her, you know, her diagnosis and, you know, the plan, the treatment plan. And, you know, there was lots of washes that had chemicals and this, that, and the other in it. And, you know, I was able to say, no, let's just hold off, and able to use my brain to do research to find out what would be a better option for me, you know, and then to implement that, which, you know, before I would have just taken the pill, you know, things are bad enough as it is. Let's just, you know, let's just fix this if we can. So I'm willing to put more work into me than I was. And while you were talking, I was thinking of how a big difference for me now is, you know, vacations. I just came back from a long trip to Ohio. We went to 3 different cities and saw lots of family and that kind of thing. And before, you know, vacation would be an excuse to eat all the things, to go to the restaurants, to stay out, to have alcohol and all that. And some of the people that I were with did that. But for me, for the first time ever, well, not ever, but I mean, just in the last few vacations I've had, because of course, we're just now starting to go again. But I was able to get up and go, you know, for the next day's activities without recovering from what I had done the day before, you know. So, I have just learned to take care of me. And that doesn't mean that other people have to suffer for it. It just means that I'm conscious of what I need to do to be able to enjoy my grandchildren, to have good conversation with people, you know, to wake up clear-headed and be able to go to breakfast and have good conversation instead of getting over, you know, either a sugar hangover or a 2 glasses of wine hangover or, you know, those kinds of things. So, yeah. Now, let's see, you brought up the OCD also. That has been a little bit of a challenge because I've always had that kind of a personality where I needed things to be in order and just so. And it really did start to get out of hand when I embarked on this, you know, getting rid of things, because, you know, my husband was hoping he didn't wake up somewhere else the next day, you know, during some of it. That was a little bit of a challenge, but now that I'm coming to the end of it, that's another thing that I've taken on as just doing my own, you know, research and doing what I can do inside and out to minimize, you know. And I did start a medication when I first got the diagnosis, but, you know, everything has side effects. And as it went on, I was thinking, you know, I'm going to try to address this with my lifestyle and my food. And I think simplifying my food even has made a positive difference in that. So I'm still a work in progress. There's no question about that. You know, I definitely have challenges every day, but I'm just able to think it through better.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. We're all works in progress, but even like you said, just to have the, I don't know if it's like confidence is the right word, but the self-trust that I don't have to just take this medication that they're saying for this. I can kind of, especially with your background and your knowledge, you can draw on that and have the confidence that, okay, I can experiment, knowing that's an option always,
right,
but being able to try other things first. I think that is such a gift, you know, and to be able to do that without just because, you know, someone, a medical professional says, hey, do this. You can also say, well, let me try this first, you know, let me address this with, because you've had some success. And I wonder if part of that is, again, thinking back that you might never be at this point where you're 2 years, you know, sugar and flour free. Does that help knowing, okay, if, because I have that happen a lot. It still feels like a miracle to me. So I totally believe in miracles now and will say to myself, if I could do that, I can do anything. Like, it's given me such a confidence boost.
Yes. And as you were talking, that's just what I was thinking. You know, I can do anything, you know. And that's what I get up thinking about each day, you know, what can I do today to make today just a little bit better than yesterday? What can I make easier, you know, and then also for me, it's been, I think you and I have talked about over past podcasts about how much of an introvert I am. And I'm really working on that now, bringing more relationships into my life and being willing to serve in places that I just discounted before and used the excuse of, you know, well, when I feel better, when I have more energy, when I have more time, when I have this, that, or the other. And, you know, I've just kind of set all that aside and am starting to put some relationships in front of, you know, in front of my own agenda. And I was not able to do that before.
Yeah. So again, all these like benefits that, yeah, aren't like, you know, of course there's so many benefits to giving up sugar and flour, but I love talking about it in this way to see, as you reflect back, all these things that you can now do and address, because you're not focused 99% of the time on what you're going to eat or not eat, or, you know, all that mental chatter that happens when we're really in the food. So again, I just, congratulations on 2 years. I'm so proud of you, and it's been so fun to see you, evolve through this process. And I've learned so much from you. So I'm so grateful to you. But is there anything else that you want to share today with listeners that maybe we didn't get to address, or just any kind of final thoughts on, you know, just as you're on your 2 year reflection today?
Well, the main thing I would say is don't stop looking for help, and don't stop looking for community. I would not be where I am today had I not run across your podcast, and had I not kept listening, even on the days when I thought, no, that's not something I can do and I'm not going to do. I kept listening. I kept looking for that glimmer of hope. And then I found other people. I definitely benefit from the people that you interview that have done the same things that you and I have done. There is power and empowerment in community. And I'm not a person who, I don't participate in Facebook communities and in those types of large scale. That's not the kind of community I'm talking about. I'm talking about cultivating just a few contact with just a few successful people that when you don't think you can go on, you turn on that podcast, you listen to that book, you know, you've got to have somebody that has done what you've done, that has been there and come out on the other side. I think that for me has been the most, has been the most positive impact in my journey to being sugar-free. And there are still days when I don't think it's been just even too long ago that I thought, you know, I'm tired of this. You know, maybe it would even be worth it just to feel the way I did, you know, just a passing thought, you know. But then I thought, no, I don't want to let myself down. And I don't want to let down the people that I have given so much encouragement to, you know. I don't want to you know, who knows who out there, and even if there's just one that has been impacted by my story, I don't want to fall. I don't want to stumble and fall because I won't be there if somebody else needs to be, you know, picked up. And that's a very rewarding thing to be able to help other people. And you can't help somebody else if you're feeling sorry for yourself and you're giving in to and it really is true. I definitely believe that eating that whatever it is, and I still have that list in my head, and you know, 5 minutes later, there's going to be nothing but misery. I mean, it's such a short period of time. Even if you string it out like I did, and my boxes, my bakery boxes, might last 2 days, maybe three. I don't know. More likely 1 to 2. You know, after that's over, you just feel so bad, and it's just not worth it to me. You know, to go there. So, so yeah, just keep reaching out until somebody resonates with you, and then just follow them, you know, just follow their journey.
I agree with that 100%. And I think the other thing I would say about the community is it's that connection piece, like connecting with other people that really understand and get it. And then also the accountability that you're talking about too. Cause I feel like that with my podcast, like exactly like you're saying, I have some struggles still, and I'm like, I can't let people down. I've got to, you know, and it really helps. The accountability and the connection of community, I think, is so important.
Yeah. We don't want to see you come on one day with powdered sugar all over your lips.
Although I would admit if I did, you know, but you know,
sure, yeah.
That does, honestly, that's a huge motivator for me. So I am grateful to everyone listening because you all definitely keep me on track. So thank you. And thanks again, Susan. This was so good to catch up with you. And I know that you're helping way more than just one person that's listening, and can't wait to see, check in again in a few months and see what's going on then for you.
Oh, it's almost always so much fun to catch up. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. And remember, life is so much sweeter without sugar.